Jesus said, I'm the truth. Satan is a liar. So this morning's message is called The Greatest Lies Ever Told.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
And I want you to pray together with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time that we've got today in the name of Jesus to worship you. We want to wake up, God, and to hear you. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would open our ears, that we would hear clearly what the Spirit says to us and what your heart is for us. In Jesus' name today, God's people said amen. Amen. Well, this is an interesting sermon that God gave me for a Sunday morning resurrection day, and I am excited about it, but stay with me because we will tie this into resurrection today. Would you go with me to John chapter 8 this morning as we start out? John's Gospel, chapter 8. And after you hear these first set of scriptures, you might say, where is he going on Resurrection Sunday this morning? I know Rick laughed when he saw this title this morning back there. John chapter 8, and in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. This is interesting. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What a wonderful resurrection message, isn't it? We know that Satan is a liar and he is the father of it. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul in chapter 11, starting in verse 13. The Apostle Paul was talking about those that were among them that were false teachers. He says, for such, in chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And don't marvel, for Satan himself is also transformed into an angel of light. Now, so far on Resurrection Sunday morning sermon, we've talked about that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. We know that he is also, according to Paul, he's a deceiver and transforms himself and can look in other forms to deceive. But then I love the last scripture, John 14, verse 6. Most of you know this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen? All right, so what do we know so far? We know that this is the great contrast that we're looking at. Jesus is truth, and Satan is a liar. Amen? Can you all testify to that? Jesus said, I'm the truth. Satan is a liar. So this morning's message is called The Greatest Lies Ever Told. Interesting. Very quiet in here. You guys are all saying, is he going to pick on me? Is he going to talk about us being a liar? No. I want to talk about something this morning. We know that according to these verses that Satan is the father of all lies. And you know, he has told more lies than any other created being. He has told more lies to more people, and his sole intent is to do what? Deceive. Now let's think about this. His success depends on people believing his lies. And, you know, here's an interesting fact. Adolf Hitler. How many of you ever heard of that guy before? Even the young people. You guys have heard of Adolf Hitler. You know what he did. He killed millions of Jewish people. But Adolf Hitler, a man who learned to lie effectively. Here was a quote from Adolf Hitler. If you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. How many of you ever heard that before? From Adolf Hitler. Who do you think was his father? Satan is the father of lies. And that is Satan's entire goal, is to lie to people that are on this earth, that have ever been on this earth, that will ever be on this earth. He is a deceiver and the father of lies. And if he lies enough, that's his theory, that it will be believed. But remember, Jesus said, I am the truth. He who believes on me will have eternal life. So I want to get into, by the way, there are consequences to lying as well. Did you know that? And I asked that last week, you know, how many liars do we have in the house? None of us like to raise our hands. How many of us have ever lied? You better raise your hand, buddy. I know you. I'm kidding. He knows I pick on him. But there are consequences to lying. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9, and we'll just show you that very quickly. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall perish. The wonderful thing about it is everything that God says in his word is true. So we know that Satan is the father of all lies. What is going to happen to him? He is going to perish. But again, his entire premise is, if I can tell it enough times, it will be believed. And even in today's world, there are many that do not believe in Jesus. And when, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but over the last 20, 30 years, Rick and I talked about this. How many of you can remember that on a Sunday morning, it was about the only time that the church was packed? On Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. Do you know how many churches are packed on Sunday morning Easter service anymore? Not very many. Satan's lies have been believed. So I want to go to, I talked about the greatest lies, plural, ever told. And I want to talk about the first greatest lie that was ever told. And here was the lie that Satan told. God doesn't mean what he says. You know, God has given us his word. We have it right here. And yet, we read it, we hear it in the pulpit, we hear it on radio. America is saturated with the word of God. But yet, many people say, well, God doesn't really mean that. That was for back then, not for today. He doesn't mean it. Well, it all started back in Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to go there with me. And again, you know, I like to go here to this passage because it reminds us of what happened. Genesis chapter 3, this was the first greatest lie that was ever told. Genesis chapter 3, now in verse 1, the serpent was more subtle or deceiving than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Some people say, well, that's true. No, it isn't true. God did never say to them, you can't eat of every tree in this garden. He said, you can eat of everyone except for one. Don't eat of that tree. But Satan comes along and he says, seriously? Did he really say that? And this is what he does. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you will not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it to her husband, who was standing there with her. So men, get off of that high horse that it's the woman. It's her problem. That man was standing right there. But I want you to understand what that lie specifically said. Satan said to the woman, God is a liar. He doesn't mean what he says. And today that same lie is being spread just as it was back here in this day. God doesn't really mean what he says in the Bible. I have news for you. God means what he says. And what he says, he means. How many of you believe that? Then it should have an effect on us. When God says something in his word, we need to pay attention to it and adapt that to our lives. Otherwise, are we any different than the serpent that said, did God really mean that? He didn't really mean that, did he? That's not for today. And I mentioned, according to Proverbs 19, that there are consequences to sin and to lying. Consequences. Romans 3:23, all of us should know these scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the consequences. You know, this decision affected mankind up until us right now. It was one of the greatest lies that was ever told, and it was fell for by the woman and the man, and the consequences created sin in our world today. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Christ Jesus is eternal life. Remember, Satan is a liar, Jesus is truth. That was the greatest lie, number one. And I promised you that we were going to get to this. Resurrection Sunday, lie number two. And this is, I don't have a lie number three, so we're going to stay here on this one, okay? The greatest lie that was ever told, number two, that Jesus did not rise from the dead. And that lie still is persistent today. How do we know that? Because we don't see people coming to worship Jesus. They say, it was all made up. All that Bible stuff, I can't believe you believe that stuff. It never happened. It was all a lie. Satan's lies have kept many from the kingdom of God and have perished into hell for the last 2,000 plus years because of a lie that has been told, 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 and many still believe it. Here's the scenario. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 27. And like I said, a little bit different of a Resurrection Sunday morning message. But God wants us to know that He is truth. And what His Word says actually happened. So if you have some unbelievers that do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and that lie has been given to them, we need to share with them what God says. Matthew chapter 27. Again, the scenario here in verse 62. Jesus has been put in the tomb, wrapped up. And by the way, the way they did that back then, they didn't have the embalming for the poor folks. So it was a matter of taking ointments and perfumes and so forth and putting them on the body and then wrapping this body to keep, in essence, the stench down. Because rotting flesh does not smell good. And so we see this, verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now on the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together to Pilate. And they said, Sir, we remember that the deceiver, who they were calling Jesus, the deceiver, said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and they made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, most people don't understand what that actually meant. Here's the story. The Pharisees heard Jesus say, I'm going to rise on the third day. So now they are absolutely terrified that this is going to happen. They've now won. They've got Jesus in the grave. And they go to Pilate because they can't do it on their own. Pilate is over the Roman government at that time, and they say, we want you to do something for us. We want you to put some people out there. We want you to put a guard out there. And so Pilate says, I will give you a watch and I will give you a seal on that tomb. Now, here is exactly what that means. When Pilate said, I will give you a watch in the Roman Empire was around 80 soldiers. 80 soldiers. Now, these soldiers, they were armed with swords, staves, daggers, and their shield, and all of their armament to guard this tomb. Now, can you imagine when the ruling came down from their captain, I want you to go guard this tomb of this dead man? What are you thinking here? If you are a soldier, you're thinking probably what? What an easy job. Seriously, are you kidding me? I mean, we're talking about well-trained soldiers that are trained for warfare, and you are going to send me over to guard an empty tomb. Now, most likely, these were Roman soldiers that were used to guarding around the temple in Jerusalem. As far as we can tell, they mainly did that. And there was a lot of uprisings amongst the Jewish people because the Romans were in charge and there were uprisings and these soldiers would basically snuff them out. Now they're sent to guard a tomb. And you're thinking to yourself as a soldier, you've got to be kidding me. But they go because they are set as a watch there. Now, you need to also understand, as far as military goes, again, several of you were in the military. When you are put on a watch, do you fall asleep? What happens if you fall asleep on a watch? It's something called court-martial in today's world. In this world, when you fell asleep on duty, your head was cut off as a soldier. There is a great price to pay for that. So these guys come, but they know what their duty is. The next thing that Pilate said, I'm going to give you a seal on that tomb. That doesn't mean that they sealed all the way around the stone. It is the exact kind of seal that a king in the Old Testament would put. It's made out of clay and or wax that was put on a certain portion of the stone with an insignia on it. If that was broken, all of those soldiers in that watch would have their heads cut off. End of story. If you're the soldier, are you going to guard the tomb? Are you going to do it well? Even though you think this is an easy job, you know what is at stake here. The main story happens here. Verse 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled that stone away from the door, and then sat upon it. I love that, Skip. He rolls away the stone. Now, this is not a light stone. The stone was set in place by, most likely, those soldiers. And they look like Pastor Aaron. They're big guns on them, right? Roll that stone. And it probably took several of them to put that stone in place. The angel comes down and says, excuse me, moves the stone and sits on top of it. John, he's just like you, right? Strong and mighty. I'm picking on John here this morning. And his countenance was lightning, like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These well-trained soldiers, ready for war, became as dead men. They were shaking in their boots at the angel of the Lord. You know, I have a lot of people say, well, if an angel showed up, I'd just ask him all kind of questions. You are not going to ask him all kind of questions. If 80 well-trained soldiers, shaking in their boots, fell on their faces, you are not going to be any different. Here we go. And the angel answered, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he told you, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you will see him. I have told you this. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail! And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they will see me. The resurrection story. Amen. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Main part of the story, and we give God praise for that. Somebody say amen. Praise be to God. But once again, in comes Satan's deception. Here it is. We pick this up. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, here they go. They're going to tell the disciples. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. I want you to see something here. This is part of the watch, part of those soldiers. Did they go to Pilate? Why not, Tucker? They're not going to go to Pilate and say, oh, by the way, the stone was rolled away, the seal was broken, and there's no body in there. Pilate, give us praise for that. Yeah, Pilate's going to give him praise, all right. Their heads are going to be chopped off. They go to the chief priest of the Jewish people and they say, listen, here is what happened. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel and gave large sum of money to the soldiers. Here's what you tell anybody that asks you. Say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. There's a payoff here. And every soldier that was in there was told, Here's what you say. You lie and say, we fell asleep. All right, now, I have to ask you this. Are you really serious that there's 80 soldiers, well-trained, under Pilate, under the law of Roman citizenship, and what happens to them? 80 of them fell asleep all at the same time, and they never heard 12 guys coming in, and 12 guys rolling away the stone, going in, wrestling out a body, and taking the time to unwrap everything and to fold it up neatly and put it right there. They never heard a thing, Dante. We didn't hear a thing. We all fell asleep. Now, there's not 80 of us here, but all of us here, would we all fall asleep? How many of you are light sleepers? Now, I know I am. Laura sneaks in sometimes. And I can hear the floor squeaking. Squeak, squeak. And I wake up. Out of 80 people, someone's got to be a light sleeper, right? The whole thing was a lie. Really, seriously, they never heard anybody coming by, Skip. And then their concern was, but listen, that's fine that you guys, Jewish people, are giving us money, but what about our bosses? Because when they hear of this, we're done. And the Pharisees said, we'll take care of them too. There will be a payoff so that nothing ever comes of what you did. Lie number two here was that Jesus did not rise from the dead. This lie was put and continues to this day. So they took the money, verse 15, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It still happens, folks. The lie was meant by Satan to keep people from the truth of resurrection. Because resurrection makes the difference. Because if we serve a Jesus that was risen from the dead, that means that we ourselves have life in Christ. Amen? Now come on now, we all know. Turn with me over to John. A couple books over again. John chapter 11. One of my favorites here in verse 25. John chapter 11 verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you know what resurrection means? Resurrection means life everlasting. But if we do not believe in Jesus being raised from the dead, then we ourselves cannot be raised from the dead, and our eternal place is hell, which is exactly where Satan is going to go. And he would like to take you with him as well. Why does it matter? Why do we need to know that this is a lie? Because resurrection matters. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. God allowed Pilate to set the guard there. You know why? Because it's proof. It was proof. How many of you need to see proof? And nobody likes to see proof. Anybody ever say, show me the proof of that. I don't believe you. Show me. Well, the proof is in the pudding, folks. Those guys were there. They were set there. And you and I both know that they didn't fall asleep. That the angel of the Lord came down and they shook in their boots. Resurrection matters. He's asking us to believe in him, folks. Believe in him. And the second thing, don't believe anything that Satan has to say. Nothing. Not one word of what Satan has to say. Because he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Never has been, never will be, and his only intent is to deceive. We can take God's word to the bank because he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes in me shall never perish and have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for that. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word is true. And God, we will give you praise. We will give you honor. And Lord, if there is someone that is either here or watching or will watch this, Father, that does not believe in you, has never given their life to you, Lord, would you speak to them right now and let them know that you are the resurrection. You did raise from the dead, and that he that believes in you shall have everlasting life. Father, I thank you for that word today. And I thank you, Lord, that we can count on you and count on your word. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.